Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, streaming live Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. TD is in the house. The Teron Davenport Power Hour is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks, FreedomTireGuys.com, National's premier mobile tire company. Online at FreedomTireGuys.com, CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. TD, excellent. Excellent piece at ESPN.com on Monday about the Titans and where they are kind of with their situation with Ryan Tannehill. So just open it up, your thoughts on the Bengals loss and the Tannehill situation going forward.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, Jared. I knew you would like that. You know, being as though it was critical of number 17. And that is something that definitely had to happen because let's face the facts, that game that he had was atrocious and it was a big part of why the Titans are not hosting the AFC Championship game this week. So when you look at that Bengals game, you know, for me, it just started right from the jump. And I mean, you were in the building. You felt the energy, the excitement. Mm-hmm. They mentioned Derrick Henry's name and he came running out and he was as pumped as I've ever seen him. And everybody in the stadium was as excited as that stadium has been since I've been covering the team. And what happens? It's like a big pin is stuck into a balloon and it pops and all the air is let out. And that's what that interception was. And I think just that game was just kind of a microcosm of the things that have gone wrong for them in the playoffs. And it's just, there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, starting with Ryan Tannehill, you know, obviously there were questions about, you know, things being too predictable as far as formations and play calls, and it was a squandered opportunity. And it's not to say that the playmakers weren't there. I mean, Julio Jones, he showed up somewhat. A.J. Brown, absolutely. I mean, we talked last week at this time about A.J. being a guy that would come up with a big-time play in big-time games, and he came up with multiple. That one-handed catch was really good. And when you flip it to the defensive side, I mean, as a defensive player, you have to ask yourself, like, what more do we have to do? And that's why I respect Jeffrey Simmons so much because, I mean, this guy had 3 sacks. Should have been 4. One was taken away due to the delay of game. But then he said, well, we got to turn the football over. Like, we got to generate turnovers. And it's just, truth be told, that defense could not have done that much of a better job. They got the turnover. They got 9 sacks. They held Joe Burrow to without a single touchdown pass. They held a team that was averaging 26, 27 points per game to 19 points. I mean, what more can you ask? And they did that all within 3 turnovers ball being turned over 3 times by your offense.
Okay, so put yourself in John Robinson's shoes. Like, and it's, you're the GM. You're TD the GM, and you watch that game. What is your conclusion on what you almost have to find a way to do at the quarterback position, or maybe what you may be willing to do that you weren't willing to do before Saturday?
Well, I think you have to have an honest talk with yourself and say, listen, I can't rely on this guy to make everyone else better. I can't rely on this guy to not turn the football over, to manage the game in the playoffs. And I think that's the whole thing. And this goes back to something that I've said before when I called Ryan Tannehill a game manager. And I said, it's okay to be a game manager. It's all right. You know, Tom Brady, your favorite player of all time, was a game manager when he initially started winning Super Bowls. So it's okay. But a part of being a game manager is not turning the football over. And I mean, let's face the facts. And 2 losses over the last couple of years, there have been 4 interceptions. And I'm not going to put the blame on anyone except for him. And we could explain the first interception, how Julio Jones should have worked his way back to the ball and how there should have been something, a route backside to kind of put the safety in a bind and make him have a decision. But the fact of the matter is, as a quarterback, you have to see that safety coming down and not throw that football as late as it was thrown. And granted, again, Julio Jones should have worked back, but I say all that to say that it is really evident that this team has hit their ceiling with Tannehill as the quarterback, unless they find a way to get premier playmakers at every single offensive position. And that's just not possible. So I mean, I think it's time to take a look at other options.
I think the thing, too, that gets me is going back to the Vrabel quote when he said they need to be great around him. Like, no team is perfect in a salary cap era, TD. I think the Titans have a really – I mean, they got 9 sacks. They've got maybe the best running back in football. A.J. Brown has taken the next step as an elite receiver in the NFL. They got an all-pro safety. I mean, I think that they probably are great already around them, and it still wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, I say they're really good all around them. You know, you could get a little more production out of the tight end position. But, I mean, this goes back to what I said about you have to, and especially at that number, right? If you're a $38 million quarterback, I mean, daggone, like everything shouldn't have to have everything perfect around you, you know? And that's unfortunately the situation that this Titans team is in right now, where they literally have to have everything perfect. And I mean, it was close to perfect in that game until that second interception. I think that was really the one that really messed things up. And then obviously the third one. So it's just like, all right, how can I put this roster together to overcome the inequities at quarterback?
Or, what'd you make of, oh, sorry about the TD.
No, or can I find someone else who could do what this guy hasn't been able to do?
And I wondered, like, with Downing, and I'm not qualified enough to be able to judge a play caller because there are so many things that go into judging a play caller and what was the play supposed to be and what did they do. And I mean, I think sometimes we get caught up in, oh, this guy's got a great offense and, well, he's got great offensive players. It's hard for me to look at it that way. I thought Downing was probably going to get the axe, you know, kind of as like the sacrificial lamb for the disappointing game and disappointing offense this year. But Vrabel came out and was really strong in support of Todd Downing, which means he's not going anywhere. There's no other offensive coaches so far that are leaving the staff. What do we make of that? The fact that the Titan fans kind of wanted blood in the coaching staff, and Vrabel is saying no to that. And it's almost like I think Vrabel's kind of circling the quarterback more so than the coaching.
Well, yeah, you always have to have somebody has to take the blame, right? There has to be a reason why, and especially a loss like this that is so confusing. I mean, I legitimately was sitting there just like, how do you lose this game? You know what I mean? How do you squander this opportunity? So, of course, you know, someone has to take the blame. And I mean, look, the play calling, and this is the thing that's always interesting about play calling is – you really never know who's the first read, right? So you could say, hey, man, like Todd Downing's not putting together enough plays to get Julio Jones the football. But then you look at the play and like you know the progression and how everything is set up. And it's like, wait a minute. Ryan Tannehill was supposed to throw to Julio Jones on this play, but he ended up going here. So then it's like, okay, why did that happen? So I think, you know, saying an offensive coordinator should be fired it's a tough thing to do because, I mean, yeah, he calls the plays, but the quarterback has to execute it. And that's where I understand what Coach Vrabel was saying. And, you know, Coach Downing has actually told me this when I asked him in one of his press conferences, you know, about getting the ball to guys like Julio Jones, like A.J. Brown. Sometimes he makes the calls, but it just doesn't find a way to get to him. And I think that's where you know, they got to get better is executing.
What did you think as far as kind of the way that Tannehill, like the Titans gave him every opportunity on Saturday night and it still wasn't good enough. Like, how did you feel that may have locked in or affected his future?
I think it affected it greatly. You know, this 2022 season is going to be interesting because obviously there's all types of gymnastics that they have to go through to get rid of them, right? Financially, if they want to, you know, be able to do that. So that's going to be interesting. But I am pretty much positive that after the 2022 season, you know, you're not going to see Tannehill as the quarterback, but it's just that window is closing. So, you know, I just want to see how that impacts the whole work around him, you know, how they're going to, because I don't really think that it's feasible to get rid of him and bring somebody else in. I mean, unless it's like a Russell Wilson, right? Unless it's an Aaron Rodgers, unless it's a Deshaun Watson. We know those are three options that are slim to none, you know. And then I actually started my look at like a closer look, all 22 look at these quarterbacks. And, you know, I watched Kenny Pickett today. And just in general observations of the other guys along with Pickett throughout the year, you know, Desmond Ridder would be a pretty nice fit to come in and just kind of develop. But, you know, this team isn't built to have somebody develop. So they're in kind of a catch 22 where they need change at quarterback in order to get to the Super Bowl. But the change isn't really out there immediately.
So I have a thought on that I want to get to next on the Titans, because if we know anything about the Titans, it's that they will kind of sometimes surprise you some way or another with some things that I found. Brady Henderson, who covers the Seahawks, some interesting nuggets. I want to get your thoughts on that next. And
okay,
does it feel like the Titans are going to try to run it back next year? We'll get TD's thoughts on that. The TD Power Hour is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. TD's with us, Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ryan Tannehill will find a way to mess it up. He's just not that dude. He's just not that dude. He's just, I don't care. Oh, he makes me sick. Okay, because Derrick Henry comes back, doesn't look too bad. Okay. Deontay Foreman.
He's running that ball.
Running that ball. And what did Vrabel do to mess up? You call a play where you stop running the ball and you get Ryan Tannehill to try to throw a little screen. The dude right in front of you, you don't think he's going to tip the damn ball? And this is Ryan Tannehill. This is who he is. This is who he is, okay? And the thing the thing that really ticks me off is that everything else was flowing for them but this guy. And the first play, who does this? You're on your home turf. The crowd is hype. Everybody, the tailgate parties, everything
first
hype.
Play.
The first play of the game, the guy throws an interception. The first play. You didn't even have a chance to pass gas. The dude threw an interception. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then go sharp in this press conference. You know, we were looking forward. There's no way I thought that we would be. Why? You threw two interceptions prior to that. Before you threw the last one, you should have assumed it, damn it. I mean, it's Ryan Tannehill. And if Tennessee is ever going to do something, they got to get. Then listen, he's no scrub. But he ain't that dude, especially in the AFC, with all the quarterbacks we talk about. Yeah. Ryan Tannehill ain't that dude. You better get another quarterback if you want to get over the hump.
There you go. Stephen A. Smith on First Take. TD, that was an all-timer from Stephen A. as far as the Titans are concerned. TD with us. The TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys and Crane Works and Rental Works. So I was reading your colleague, Brady Henderson, TD. And he was writing up the Seattle Seahawks. And obviously he covers the Seattle Seahawks like you cover the Titans. And brought up kind of the Russell Wilson situation. And Russell has said that he's willing to go back, but... And Pete Carroll says he doesn't know if Russell will be back. But he went over the fact in a really well-done piece at ESPN.com that Russell Wilson is going to lose three offensive linemen, left tackle Dwayne Brown, right tackle Brandon Shell, and center Ethan Posich are all scheduled to be free agents. They're also running back Rashad Penny is a free agent, as are the tight ends Gerald Everett and Will Disley. Now, we know that he's got the good receivers out there. Also, the Seahawks are going to have around $40 million of cap space after you factor in Russell's $24 million, so it could be as much as $64 million, and they would have the resources to be able to take on Tannehill. Russell's got a no-trade clause. So instead of Seattle going to the market saying, okay, who wants Russell Wilson, and every team that doesn't have a quarterback like Washington or Philadelphia or everybody else coming out and saying, hey, you know, we need, you know, whatever, Russell could say, I want to go to Tennessee. While I know a lot of things have to line up, it does seem like a team with no draft capital because they spent it on Jamal Adams. The Titans could offer two first-round picks. Seattle's got the cap space to take on Tannehill. Is it possible if a Russell wants to come here that they could make a deal work out for Russell Wilson?
Oh, there's always a way to make the deal work out. And it's interesting you mentioned Russell Wilson because his deal this past season was very similar to how Tannehill was going to be set up for this upcoming season as far as having that super high dead cap number and then also having a actual high cap number as it is. Now, he's going to be, I believe it's $37 million, and Tannehill will be $38.5 million or $38.4 million. So one of the things that the Titans could do is be willing to take on some of that salary, much similar to how the Dolphins did. Now, granted, the Dolphins did it. There was an extension and, you know, reworking the deal, and they took on $5 million of the, I think, the $7 million that he ended up getting that season. But I mean, those are the type of things that you could do in order to facilitate that trade. And the thing is, if the Seahawks were to do that, they could, just like the Titans will likely do if Tannehill is there after 2022, get out of the deal, you know. And I think it's like $18 million that you have in accelerated a cap hit, but a dead cap hit. So yeah, I could see them making that work. And in essence, you know, the Seattle will be paying, you know, $18 million or so for a couple of first round draft picks.
Yeah. And not only that too, like, who on the market for Seattle would be a better quarterback than Tannehill, you know, for next year? Because I mean, we've looked at the quarterback market of the Jameis Winstons and the, you know, it's just the Tyrod Taylor and Ryan Fitzpatrick. The other thing, too, that would be – here's another interesting caveat, TD, for the Titans. It would be more advantageous for them to wait till June 1st and trade Tannehill as far as their cap is concerned. And for Seattle, it would be more advantageous to get a Russell deal done before March 20th because he's due a $5 million roster bonus.
Right.
So what if you use those two first-round picks – and again, the key to this is Russell wanting to do it. You use the first-round pick to trade for Russell Wilson – then you use the second first-round pick in a deal after June 1st. So even though it's really one transaction, you tie it into two separate transactions, Russell before March 20th, Tannehill after June 1st, to make the caps easier for both sides. Am I talking crazy now?
No, I mean, what you're doing is finding ways to get out of a very desperate situation. And I like that idea. I didn't even look at it that way, but I mean, yeah, I mean, that's something that you could do, especially knowing, like you said, how the numbers are all set up. So it's an option. It's an option. But, you know, at the same time, you got to look at this past year and how Russell Wilson was with Seattle. And you got to make sure, and I believe for sure, that he could come in here and really turn this thing up to another notch. And you can win a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson as the quarterback with that roster as it is currently. So that's a decision that they're going to have to make sure of.
How attractive do you think this team would be to Russell? I mean, he tweeted out that he was watching the game Saturday. I mean, remember what he did with Marshawn Lynch as his running back. Derrick Henry, no disrespect to the beast, might actually be better than Marshawn Lynch. And the defense got 9 sacks Saturday. I think it's a very attractive place for a guy like Russell Wilson at this point in his career.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an attractive destination for him because it's a win now team. And that's really, it all lines up perfectly. And obviously, you know, you remember the whole Let Russ Cook campaign where they wanted him to throw the football more. And I think when called upon, he's capable of doing that. But he will be in an excellent situation here to where he could play within the scheme, make a few plays. A lot of the things that they do as far as zone and play action and moving the pocket and getting the quarterback, you know, on the run, it works perfectly with his skill set.
How much, though, do you think it's likely that the Titans in 2022 are running it back with the same crew? For the most part, there will obviously be changes, but how likely do you think it is in reality that they're going to run it back with the same group, same coordinator, same quarterback coach, same almost everything?
Yeah, honestly, I think that's the direction that it's going to go. And it's unfortunate because, you know, this team, they're reaching their peak, you know. But I think that's the direction, like I said, unless something crazy is able to happen. But more than likely, Tannehill is going to be the quarterback. And I would just think that they're going to work to improve the roster around him and take one last shot at it.
I wonder what the backup quarterback situation might be next year, because I do think that they would never have pulled him out of that game on Saturday If something similar happens next year, I think they'll take him out of the game. And you want to have a guy who's probably a little bit more seasoned than Logan Woodside behind Tannehill if you're going to do that, similar to what Tannehill was to Mariota.
Well, if you look at that, you better have a guy that you feel that you could win the next game with. You know what I mean? Because, it would be tough for a team to take their quarterback out in that situation and him to lead them on a win in that situation against a team that didn't really get to prepare for him. And then, expect that quarterback to go back in the following week. So that's something that, you better have an adequate, that's a situation where you better, like Jameis Winston or somebody like that, who has been a starter before, that you feel like you could trust to win a game for you, And that's a tough situation to look at, because when you bench a quarterback in a playoff game, like, that's not just a one game type of a decision.
No, that was the Sean McVay last year when he was like, "Nah, we're starting John Wolford." It was like,
yeah.
What?
it was over.
Yeah, it's like, hold on, you're doing what? You're starting John Wolford at Seattle against Russell Wilson. Yes. Okay. All right. Whatever you want to do there, Sean McVay. But hey, it ended up working out for them. The one thing that I do think about the Titans is, does it not feel like they may be a little bit more empowered to be bold with dealing picks to go? Like, let's use Russell as the example here, but I think Rodgers, it looks like Denver is trying to line up all the chips to go after Rodgers. But
yeah,
would it not feel like you're more empowered to do this because of the success the Rams had doing it?
Well, I don't know about it feeling empowered, because all situations are different, right? And this situation, it just started working out for the Rams with Stafford and everything. Because, you remember the Rams-Titans game. It was like, oh, that was a terrible decision, to go get him. So I think each situation in itself is isolated. And seeing that success, I don't think that's going to push John Robinson or anybody there to say, okay, well, we could go out and do it. Because, again, they understand that each situation is different.
I do wonder what they think internally, and they will never tell us. Like, that's the thing that I really wonder about. I mean, this is a franchise, and granted, Amy Adams Strunk is not her father. This is a franchise that moved on from Warren Moon for Cody Carlson after a playoff loss. So, I do wonder what they think internally. TD is with us. The Titan players have come out strong in defense of Ryan Tannehill, but our former Titan player, not as strong. I want TD's thoughts on that, and we'll do that coming up next. Get your Titans questions in for TD as well. 615-737-1025 is the text line. If you got a thought for TD, get it in there. 615-737-1025. TD is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com, Nationals premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. TriStar Moving, my official movers and the presenting sponsor of Stillman & Company. I moved with TriStar over a year ago, and it was a fantastic experience. They made the entire process so simple, and that's why their motto is TriStar Movers. With 5-star service from the initial phone call to the final signature, moving was a breeze. They've got a state-of-the-art storage facility in Mount Juliet as well. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, are true Nashvillians, and they want to help their hometown. This company is the real deal and on the rise quickly because of the standard that they hold. So if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website, nationalmoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219. Nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving, my official movers. Stillman & Company, the TD Power Hour is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. Teron Davenport, ESPN with us. TD, I will give the Titans players credit. Now, this is not the typical off-season locker clean-out day like we're used to because of COVID. And I would say that one thing that's probably hurt the players as much as it's hurt, us as fans and you as media, is the fact that the last 2 years, the locker room has not been open, where you are in there talking to players and, because I know how it is with players, and especially with guys that they see all the time like you, usually if there's something they want to tell you, they can go off to the side and you can talk to them and just have a conversation with them.
Yep.
And now it's just totally different. And so some of the players spoke on Monday, but not a lot of them, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But the Titans players have been very strong in their defense of Ryan Tannehill. Taylor Lewan going to his podcast on Bussin' with the Boys. Here's what Taylor Lewan said.
Here's what I have to say about anybody who's like questioning Tannehill. Is years past, even this year, him having the confidence to throw it into situations and it's worked out before and you guys all that he was the greatest. Like, just because it didn't work out doesn't mean he's any different, dude. He's a stud. And with the boys ride or die with Tanny, he has literally revived the Tennessee Titans along with the new defense.
So a very strong support there. He's not the only one. But Derek Mason on the Midday Show may be the best receiver in the history of the Titans, though. AJ's getting there, you know, for a little battle between the two. But Derek Mason on the Midday Show was talking about how he would feel if he played. Here's what he said.
I would still play for him. I wouldn't fuss or anything else. But in the back of your mind, it's like, okay, we've been at this for 3 years with him. And it comes a point where as a player, a veteran player, you know your time is running short to win a championship. So you're looking at the GM and everyone else like, man, can we do something? Is there something we can do? Because, you know, these veteran players have blood, sweat, and tears, and we keep losing, you know, in the playoffs. And a lot of it is because of the quarterback. Is there something we can do? You wouldn't publicly, you know, rip the guy, but behind closed doors, you would be like, man, whether it be to your family or other coaches or other players, like, man, we need to he's good, but we need, and you start looking around the league like, we need somebody great. You know? You're not gonna openly bash him, but behind closed doors, you're like, man, we need somebody that's going to get us over that hump.
TD, what do you think? Because the players have been incredibly passionate about Tannehill, not just now, but over the last 3 years. How do you think the team feels about Tannehill after Saturday?
Yeah, I think they believe that they can win with him. And, you know, I respect that. They obviously are in the mix and they know better than anybody. But I just think, in my opinion, the having him as your quarterback puts a lot of pressure on a lot of other things on the team, right? Mm-hmm. You need A.J. Brown to make a one-handed catch like that. You need the defense to have a performance like they did on Saturday. You need Derrick Henry to run the football the way that he is able to run it, along with Foreman and that crew. You need – you see what I'm saying? Anytime you say you need, like three or four times, now you're getting into, okay, how likely is it to have all of those things fall into place each and every week? And especially
sure, like in the take what the 49ers did to win their game. Like, you're not going to block a punt and a field goal and all that again.
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, and a lot of people point to the 49ers and say, hey, they've managed to win with Garoppolo, yada, yada, yada. But I guess what? In those games that they won, what's the one thing Garoppolo did not do? Turn the football over. Right. And I think that's the issue. And that's why a lot of people are where they are with Ryan Tannehill, because there were three turnovers on Saturday and the week before, I mean, the year before, you know, it ended. And you had two straight seasons and on an interception offensively. And that's just, you know, there's a lot to take from that.
The other thing I think about, and you played, and so, you know, like, I think that this team loves him so much that they want to believe that he can do it, the players. But I think now, I think this time last week, they thought, we can go to war with him. And now I think this time this week, and I'm not, I never played in the NFL, and I, you know, I'm not a player. But I got to believe that there's some doubt in the back of the mind that's like, you know, I really thought he could do it, and I want him to do it, and I love him, and he's a great leader and a great guy and a great butt. To D. Mace's point, you're thinking, man, can I win with this dude in the AFC with Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and Herbert and all these other guys?
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I never played in the NFL myself, sure. So I'm right there with you. But I know that having seen what Mahomes and those guys did, Mahomes and Josh Allen in that game, if you're watching that, you have to be like, man, we need some of that on our team. You know what I mean? And the bottom line is that's not the type of you know, production that they've been able to get from Ryan Tannehill. And granted, we're talking about two of the best quarterbacks in the AFC, but if you want to be able to, you know, win it all, then you have to beat those guys. And it's tough to beat them, you know, without having somebody that can put up equal production.
You said you started to look at film for the draft at the quarterbacks. I'm not going to ask you about individual guys specifically, but do you think that it's hit the Titans in their mind that they may need to look harder at quarterback in the draft early than they ever have, especially given the way that Kansas City got out of their Alex Smith problem of he's good, but this is the ceiling. Do you think this may be the closest they look at the quarterback class since John Robinson's been the general manager?
Yeah, I really do think it's the closest that they'll look at the quarterback class. And, I mean, obviously, you know, you had Luke Falk, you had my man Cole McDonald, you know, yeah. But these were just guys that were just kind of like back of the roster type of picks that they made. And I think now it's time to consider a guy on day one. You know, it's time to absolutely consider a guy on the early part of day two, you know. And I know they don't have a second, but they could always trade down and manufacture a pick to be able to do that. And you look at guys like Colin Kaepernick, you know, was picked in the second round. You know, Derek Carr was picked in the second round. Kirk Cousins was picked in the third. Dak Prescott in what, the fourth or the fifth. Mm-hmm. So you could get a guy later. It's really kind of like strike and go. You know, it doesn't happen too often. But still, when you look at that situation, they absolutely have to consider an earlier draft pick. Just because, I mean, it's become clear that this thing is, you know, the wheels could fall off and you don't want to get caught, you know, with your pants down.
The thing Floyd used to always tell me was, if you're going to pick up the phone, like let's say the Titans, let's say John Robinson wakes up and decides, you know, I got to go try to trade for Russell Wilson. The second you pick up the phone and call Seattle, if by the time that phone call's not over, you don't have a deal in place with Seattle, it's getting out. And I wonder if the Titans are okay with that. Like, if the Titans are okay with snooping around this offseason and, you know, because it's going to hurt Tannehill's feelings when that comes out, if it does come out. And I wonder if they're okay with it given their circumstances.
Yeah, it's going to hurt his feelings, but everybody has to understand it's a business. And the bottom line is what happened most recently? Three
you
interceptions,
cost them the game.
Right? Exactly. So that's the other thing. And you made a good point earlier this week. When you listen to the press conference, right? It isn't any, I have to make a better throw. I have to know it's we. And that was kind of eye opening because I mean, listen, these mistakes, like they were, again, like Julio Jones could have worked his way back to the football. Nick Westbrook and Kenny could have worked his way back to the football at the end. But the bottom line is, you were late on the throw. The bottom line is, you know, you had another guy coming open. And I get it. It's easy to armchair quarterback. But that's the bottom line. So I thought it was interesting that he didn't accept, you know, full responsibility personally for it. And I'm not saying the guy should have got up there and said, hey, I lost the game. But acknowledge the mistakes, you know.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me. The way that the Bengals were acting about, and the Bengals can do whatever they want. They won the game and they played well. But the way they were acting kind of, it reminds me of the way that the Titans used to treat Blake Bortles. Like, remember the Jarrell Casey stuff with Bortles and you know, Kevin Byard came out before the playoff game against New England and was like, yeah, we got to turn Tom Brady into Blake Bortles. I mean, the Titans used to just take pot shots at Bortles all the time. And I think that Cincinnati, like Jesse Bates came out on Sunday and said, yeah, he was staring down the receiver, so I just went over to it and jumped the route.
I mean, that's what he did, you know, and that's the other thing. And we talked about that play. You have no vertical route on the backside. And I get it, you know, they had max protection and everything, but you know, max protection is a good thing, but at the same time, you still have to have a vertical route on the backside to stretch the field. Put the safety in a bind, like make him have to consider something else. And in this case, he was just able, as he said, to read Tannehill's eyes. And I mean, and that's something that Tannehill does, though, right? He telegraphs a lot of his throws and he makes pre-snap reads. And there have been different times where, you know, there's a predetermined where he's going with the football. And next thing you know, it's a turnover. And this is exactly what happened on this play here.
TD is with us. The TD Power Hour presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. Coming up next, your questions for TD. And I just looked into the text line. It has exploded. Get them in there. 615-737-1025. A lot of people want to know what the Titans can do, TD. That's next. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025, the game. TD Power Hour presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. There is some news from Adam Schefter. The Raiders are going to interview Josh McDaniels. They have requested permission to interview Josh McDaniels from the Patriots. McDaniels will interview for the Raiders head coaching job, and Adam Schefter says if McDaniels becomes the Raiders coach, a potential offensive coordinator replacement in New England would be Bill O'Brien to the Patriots. So Schefter already connecting some dots there. And again, the news today, Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, has been hired in Denver. All right, TD, phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, to you.
Josh texts in and says, say we do get Russell Wilson, would Todd Downing pose a problem in gaining chemistry in the offense? I think that hurt Tannehill this season, but I think Wilson would give more freedom for Downing to be creative.
Yeah, I don't know that there will be a chemistry issue. I think that's something that they could develop. And honestly, the chemistry with Ryan Tannehill and Todd Downing seemed to have been developed fine. And that's something that Tannehill has spoken about multiple times throughout the year. So I don't think that would be an issue. But obviously, when you have a guy like Russell Wilson, you're able to do a little bit more from a play calling perspective. And you may see things become a little bit more effective as far as, you know, the play going as it's called, as opposed to, you know, some of the other things that you see. Whereas Tannehill at times, you know, he frequently speaks about letting the offense, well, not going where the defense allows him to go, as opposed to, you know, making things happen. You know, you got certain quarterbacks that, hey, I don't care what you do, I'm going to this guy and we're going to win. And I think that's something that you see with select guys, and Russell Wilson is one of them.
Mark from Clarksville texts in and says, who are a few players that you expect to be let go, cut, or traded this year?
Yeah, I think Roger Saffold is a guy that probably won't be around. And it's unfortunate, right, because he's been such a good player for them. But he's one. Jackrabbit Jenkins is a guy that probably won't be around, especially, you know, with how they expect Caleb Farley to come along. And also, you know, you look at this draft, there's a number of corners that they could get at some point, too, to help out. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. Those are two that stand out. I believe that Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown are probably going to be gone. When you look at David Long and Zach Cunningham, you know, so those are other options as well.
TD, what do you think about Lawan? $14 million, almost no dead cap there. It's right there kind of in the middle of the top 10 for tackle cap hits. What do you think they want to do with him?
I mean, they may try to rework it, but I don't see a world where Taylor Lawan is not back. And granted, he didn't have his best year, but, I mean, he was working back for injury, and I think they'll account for that, and he'll be back, in my opinion.
In that same breath, another texter texts in and asks, do you think the Titans sign Jeffrey Simmons and A.J. Brown to extensions or do their fifth-year options this offseason?
Well, you can only do the fifth-year option on Jeffrey Simmons. It won't work for A.J. Brown because he, much to his chagrin, was not a first-round pick. I think they're going to pick up the option. They'll do that in April. And they'll continue to work to try to get both of those guys extended. I would, if I was them, I would try to get that extension done this year on A.J. Brown, though.
The one thing that is interesting for those guys is the cap is going to explode when those contracts mm-hmm. kick in. I mean, A.J. can legitimately ask for $25 million a year.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, his agent is no slouch, man. Torrey Dandy is one of the top agents in the league, man. So rest assured that he's very well aware of that. That's the wide receiver agent, man. He has Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, a bunch of guys.
And Simmons, I mean, I don't want to get into like what a potential Simmons deal might look like, but it may be the highest defensive player in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it could. And when you see what he did in that game, like the level of disruption that he made, it could definitely go that route.
Scott in Kansas City texts in and asks, any chance the Titans get another slot receiver similar to Adam Humphries? Seems like we currently have guys that are not quite as shifty and able to create space.
Yeah, there's some options in this draft. And then, you know, have to see how free agency uncorks itself. But listen, they have a slot receiver that's very much like Adam Humphries and Mason Kinsey. And I know he's a practice squad guy, but he definitely is capable. And it would be interesting to see what would happen if he were to get a chance. But I tell you what, when you look at this draft, I'm going to give you a couple names to watch out for. And they're two different types of players. Jahan Dotson out of Penn State is a really interesting player because it's kind of like buy one, get two free, because he could play the slot, he could line up outside, but he gives you a return option and he gives you that much needed vertical threat from the slot. So that's one to look out for. But one that's kind of more likely and I think would be more in the Titans' wheelhouse is Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. And this is a guy that he's different from Dotson in that he's like a power slot. Right. Whereas he's one of those big bodies. You could think of the way that the Broncos and Bears used to use Brandon Marshall. Right. As like a big player to line up in the slot. But he's much better yards after catch wise. And I think that's something that will really help a guy like Tannehill. Right. You get those free yards. And a lot of people have compared him to A.J. Brown as far as his yards after catch ability.
You mentioned the wide receivers that the Titans could pick up. Another texter texts in and asks about the potential tight ends that the Titans could pick up either in the draft or in free agency.
Yeah, I tell you what, the one that I would really take a strong look at, and I mean, like we could look at unreasonable options like Mike Gesicki, who I think he's going to get a nice little bag this offseason. So, I mean, obviously he would be nice, but I don't see them being able to make that work financially. But David Njoku is a guy that I would look at. Gives you that athlete out of the tight end position, and then you could also, you know, just move him around, do some things similar to what they did with Jonnu Smith. Now, he's not Jonnu Smith. Don't get that wrong. But he definitely is a guy that you could, you know, do different things with. And then in the draft, you know, Trey McBride is a nice option out of Colorado State. But this draft is deep at tight end. So a lot of those guys, will be at the Senior Bowl in Mobile. So that's going to be a good opportunity to see some of the options in the future.
Another texter asked, do we feel that we should let Harold Landry walk? I feel upgrade elsewhere because to me, Harold Landry did so well due to Simmons and Dupree.
Yeah, absolutely not. You definitely have to do everything you can to bring him back. I mean, what do we talk about is the strong part of this team, that front four, and who led them in sacks, right? And who was really the most versatile out of all those front guys? I mean, and who played the most, you know, is right there. Landry and Simmons played the most out of that front four, you know, and they do so much with Landry. I think it would be crazy to let him walk and just, you know, he has to understand too how much this system really showcases him as well. So it's a win-win for both of them. They need to get a deal done.
And I think it's a win-win for Landry too, that the franchise tag number is $18 million. So even though you won't break the bank with the big deal this year, I mean, $18 million for 1 year is not a bad number, and then you hit the market after another productive year.
Exactly.
Ben texts in and asks, TD, I know it's early, but if I set the over-under at half a trade this offseason, including draft night and free agency, what would you pick?
Oof. Just a trade period, or are you talking about a trade of the quarterback? What?
Texter just said trade period.
Oh, I mean, that's tough. I mean, I think they do work to move down. So I would say 60-40, just to put something out there. Yeah, 60-40.
Donovan texts in and asks, what are the top two depth positions on our team and what are the two weakest positions needing to be addressed on our team?
Top two, I think defensive line and I would say safety, but Dane Cruikshank is going to be an unrestricted free agent. Top two. So yeah, a defensive line. I think the inside linebacker group is strong. You know what I mean? With having that three, you know, you got Rice behind Cunningham and Long. The weakest, I think corner is something that you have to look at just because they're probably going to make a move on Jenkins and you don't know what you're going to get from Farley yet. And offensive line is still something. You could go to receiver, you could go to tight end as well.
TD, appreciate you as always. The TD Power Hour presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. What is on our first off-season edition of Talking with TD?
Oh, yeah, we got two editions of Run TMC. Chris and I go through a segment on the offense, a segment on the defense, and then I opened up with just a long conversation about Ryan Tannehill, a short one-on-one with David Long during locker cleanout day as well.
There you go, TD, as always, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com. TD, appreciate you. We'll talk next week.
I appreciate you. Take care.
Yep, TD joining us. By the way, TD was going to have a lot of TV time if Ryan Tannehill didn't throw three interceptions on SportsCenter this week. Unfortunately, no game. So there is that. So coming up next, we talked about Russell Wilson at length about the possibility of the Titans going out and getting Russell Wilson, which I think is on the table. And TD didn't shoot it down, which I was surprised by, which I'm, you know, again, trying to figure out a way the Titans can move on from the quarterback and get something done. There is another quarterback who may be out there, and I don't think it's crazy next.